O God, our Father who art in heaven, we rejoice to come together in thy house of worship with thy word before us. Lord, it is a blessing to have a God who knows us, who listens to us as we approach thee. We bring our thoughts, our petitions unto thee this morning, O Lord, praying that as we have gathered in thy name, that thou, Lord Jesus, would speak to each one of our hearts and embrace us all in each one of us in our needs. Show us, O Lord, thy perfect will, and that we likewise would embrace thee and cling to thee. Show us, O Lord, thy truths that make us free, that lead us with a hope that can never be dashed. So bless each one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I have chosen that we would open and read together from the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless from what he wrote in the previous chapters of Romans. And we see that as he opens this 12th chapter, he says, I beseech you, therefore. So he is pleading with the church in Rome, a church that he desired, had a great desire to go visit. And the Spirit of God had a different plan for him and did not permit him to go visit that city and that church at the time. And we have, because of that, this wonderful epistle that was written by the Holy Spirit of God through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And so in the previous chapters, we see that the Apostle Paul speaks of the plan of salvation, how God had worked out this plan through Jesus Christ, of our justification. And so as he speaks of salvation and what God has done for us, he now says, now I plead with you because of that, because of what I've just showed you. Therefore, brethren, because of what you've just read and what I've showed you, therefore, now I beseech you, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. And this past Wednesday, we had a sermon on Malachi chapter 3 and 4. And in those chapters, we see a God who is very displeased with his people, those who profess his name. He's very displeased. And he tells them that if they don't change, that he will send a curse. And the people don't change. What is our response going to be? The response of the people that time was, how? How am I doing this? How is my sacrifice? How am I ignoring you? How am I? They don't. And so we could read through this, and you know, when we read this chapter, I think if we really concentrate on this verse by verse, he just gives these points. And it's much like Christ's Sermon on the Mount. It leaves us all squirming in our seats if we're going to concentrate on the words that are being written. Or we can respond the way Israel responded to God, like what? What do you mean? I worship you, I bring my sacrifices. You know, in those times, it says that the sacrifice before it could be presented, it had to be killed. It had to be slaughtered. The lamb had to be slaughtered, the ox, and blood had to be shed and before it could be offered. Apostle Paul is telling us here that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And so Apostle Paul is now changing gears from justification to a process of sanctification. He wants to show us how a God who is holy and entirely absent of sin or anything that is not good, God is good. Jesus says God alone is good. There's no one that is good other than him. And so how can a God who is holy and good be the justifier of those who have sinned? How can he pronounce you and me as justified before a holy God? What are his thoughts towards us? Those are all shown to us on Christ on the cross. His thoughts towards you and me are revealed in Jesus going to the cross. And his will for us is given. And he says here that in order to know his will, he said, you must present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You and I have to know that and Israel should have known. If they knew God, they knew that the sacrifices they were giving him were not correct. They could not be accepted by a holy God. So the sacrifices had to be the best that they had. And that wouldn't be enough for the mercy that God is providing. And so when you and I give everything that we have, the best of what I have, it's still insufficient. But it's acceptable to God. And so he says here, present that, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. That's reasonable for what he did for you and for me. And in chapter 1, we see how Paul introduces this letter to the Romans. He says he is an apostle that he is separated unto the gospel of God. God had called him to be an apostle. He was the one that was to replace Judas. And he says here, he tells the, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. By Christ Jesus we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. It's for his name's sake. And so it is reasonable for us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God for his name's sake, because of what he did for you and me. It's for his name. And God recognizes that. And if you and I, brothers and sisters, are not going through a process of sanctification, then this process is going to continue until the day we die. If we are not continuing on in sanctification, if we are just looking upon our justification, then we will not be glorified. As Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, he says, speaking of glorification, he says, who will change our vile body. This is our glorification. He will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That will be the end of all suffering, of all temptations. That's the end, when we are glorified. But you and I will not receive that if we aren't justified by the faith that we have in him. As we look upon the cross and see, as the brother mentioned in the prayer, to thank our God for what he has done. And later on he says here, as one of the things that we are to be always in prayer and in thanksgiving. For what? For what God has done for you and for me. How is that done? How is our thanksgiving given? He says, by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And he says, be not conformed to the world. The world is pressing upon us nonstop to be conformed, to have conformity with the world. What is the world? The world is evil. There is no good in the world. And he said, well, what do you mean? There's good. There is no good in the world outside of God. And so when Apostle Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, he's speaking of the evil that is in the world. Don't be conformed to that. It's pressing upon us to conform. And it's so easy for us to conform to that. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to prove, I have to prove, through the transformation of my mind, his perfect will. He doesn't say inadequate will. He doesn't say a will that is short in perfection. He doesn't say that there's that the will of God leaves you and me hanging like Satan deceived Eve into believing. He said it's perfect. It's perfect. And so what is the perfect will of God? He goes on and he says, he expresses that in the following verses, which really mimic the Holy Spirit is bringing out exactly what the Lord himself had preached in his Sermon on the Mount. He says that, for I say through the grace given unto me. He's speaking I was set aside, separated unto the gospel, and the Spirit of God is saying unto me that we ought not to think that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. He said we have to be absent of all pride. Because every time we think of ourselves, there has to be the self-consciousness about me has to disappear. It can't be about me. Because when it is, I'm already thinking more highly than I ought to. And he says, don't think more highly about yourself than you ought to, but think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he goes on, he says, you are one body. You are a member of one body. We're just one in a member of a body. So we have to look at one another, brothers and sisters, as members of a body. So let's look at the members of a family. You know, we have siblings, those of us who are blessed to have siblings. And parents. And we have siblings. And we are members one of another. Entirely. I cannot rejoice and enjoy life as my brother in the flesh suffers. You can't. It's not right. It goes against every fiber of your being. Right? It goes against us. You can't do that. And so he's saying, as a church, as a body of believers, we are that way. We are members of a body of Christ. And he goes on and describes that. And he tells us, let your love be without dissimulation. No hypocrisy can be in your love. The expressions of your love cannot be hypocritical. It has to be genuine, just like it would be for a member of your own family. So it must be towards one another. You cannot leave anything short in your expression of your love towards one another. The Apostle Paul dedicated an entire chapter to love in Corinthians chapter 13. He says faith and hope and love. He says the greatest is love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. None of us can fulfill the law absent of love. So what the law becomes is a to-do list. And it becomes a stench in the nostrils of God rather than the sweet-smelling savor that he looks for from each one of us. The same work that I do outside of love, and the same work that is done with love, one is a stench and one is a savor, sweet smelling unto God. So brothers and sisters, is our heart void of love? Let love be without hypocrisy. He says, to abhor that which is evil. That's one of the strongest words that I can read in the Bible, the Apostle Paul uses here to describe hate. He goes, You know, hatred is such a strong word, and he goes even above that. He's trying to describe hate, despise, abhor. What? That which is evil. It's evil to think more highly of yourself, because that's the conformity of the world. The world wants us to think highly of ourselves. He says, hate it as God hates it. The only way you can abhor evil is to abhor it as God does. And so, how can I hate evil the way God does? You can't. I can't. Unless I am transformed. Transformed by a renewing of my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. How? Again, we're going to go back to what we've been stressing for many weeks now, is the renewal of a man, the new birth, the emptying of self, and the giving unto God. Hate those things. Abhor those things that God abhors. He says, I hate pride. Abominations unto God. I rarely have heard a man say, I'm proud. But it's so easy for someone else to say, to look at me and say, you're proud. It might be a false judgment. It might be correct judgment. But when God speaks through the Apostle Paul and he says, don't think of yourselves higher than you ought to. But he says, condescend to men of low estate. Embrace the brother who is of low estate. The one that no one cares about. You're a member of him. You're members together of the same body of Christ. Cleave. Hold on to that which is good. What is good? Who is good? God. Apostle Paul is saying, hold on to him. Learn of him. Follow him. Read of him. You want to learn about Jesus? You have to read about what was spoken of him in the Holy Scriptures that have been given. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And he goes on, in honor preferring one another. What does that mean? That means that if I give you honor, if I come to you, and I sincerely mean it, to thank you for what you have done. I come to you and I thank you, brother, you've done it. I mean to uplift you and to honor you. What it means is not, okay, yeah, I did. I be puffed up with that. It's actually a very humbling thing. It should be very humbling. And I then, in response, should also respond, one, be thankful to God, but also acknowledge others who were assisting in that. Because I prefer that you honor them too. And I don't tell you, oh, don't tell me nothing. Don't, you know, in my humble way, oh, don't say nothing to me. No, be thankful to God. But also, hey, there's someone else involved here too. I prefer that you speak about them too and go thank them perhaps. Or preferring one another. We prefer another brother over myself so that I'm not lifted up in pride in any way, shape, or form. Do we live our lives that way, preferring one another? Or do we look around, oh, who saw me? Who just saw what I just did or said? How come no one recognizes this? How come? Are we doing things to be seen of men? He He says, do not be slothful in your business, in everything you do. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily mean in your work. Don't be lazy in your work. It just means don't be slothful in anything that you do. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In your everyday life, don't be slothful in your business. And what is my business? To proclaim Jesus Christ through my life. That's the business of the day. To proclaim Jesus through my life. To make him manifest through the life that I live. And he says, don't be slothful in that, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. You know, brothers and sisters, we all are dealt different hands in life, as it could be said. We all have our different struggle and troubles. He says, rejoice in hope. It doesn't matter what you're going through or me, what I'm going with through. Nothing can rob me of my hope. And so he says, and that's actually one of the three things that Apostle Paul recognizes in that letter to the Corinthians. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith and hope and love. So hope is very, very real to you and to me. And if I have that hope, I will rejoice. I will rejoice no matter what happens. Why? Because I have hope. I have hope in a God who sees me, who knows my frame. I have hope in a God who has redeemed me, who has separated me unto the gospel, who has separated me unto service, who is sanctifying me and bringing these truths of God, of righteousness unto me every day so that I may live those things out, so I can rejoice in the hope that is set before me. I know I fall way short of that because I know I cry as soon as something doesn't go my way. I cannot read what the apostles had endured. And they rejoiced that they suffered those tribulations. How shamefaced I become then. How shamefaced I become in my prayer life. When I see that the apostles are rejoicing. Why? In the hope that they have. And if it means that God will require my life, God knows best. He will save me from something else if he takes my life today. He will keep me. It doesn't matter. Paul acknowledged, it's better for me to die today. But he says, for your sake. So why? Because he was fervent in spirit. He was not slothful in his business. And so then he recognized that because I am fervent in spirit, I am rejoicing in hope, I am not slothful, it's better for you that I'm still around. Because why? Because God ordained it that way. Well, I am here today, so it must be for your own good too. Is that our attitude? Is that our work in Christ? Is that how we live our lives? It's good for us to be here. Because God has a purpose for you and me that isn't filled yet. Our work on earth is not done yet. Are we slothful in that work? Patient in tribulation. It's easy to say. It's easy for all of us to say, oh, that's one thing I don't have is patience. Well, how do you say you have the Spirit then? Because the Spirit wants to take you and to make you patient. Why are you ignoring the Spirit? Why do you readily say, I don't have any patience, and I'm okay with saying that? Am I okay with saying, I have no patience, and I just showed that with my actions? That's shameful. That's shameful. And I need to change. God has showed me and that he wants to sanctify me to be patient. And through whatever tribulation I may go through, God has a plan for me. God has a plan. And I recognize that his plan, his will is perfect. Why? Because I can prove that through the transformation of my mind. And my mind has to be in Christ in order to be transformed. And so he says here, how then can I rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation? By continuing instant in prayer. That doesn't mean I pray in the morning when I wake up, I pray in the evening when I go to bed. Those are my appointed prayer times. Be instant in prayer. Let your thoughts go heavenward all the time. All the time. Recognizing at each failure of ours that I have failed. Now, when I recognize that, I cannot be satisfied with it. I cannot leave that alone because I am quenching the Spirit of God. I am in disobedience to the Spirit of God. And he says here, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Hospitality costs you and me something. He says, be given to that. Be ready. Be ready to do good. Be ready to meet the needs of others. Why? Because there's love. Love just flowing out of your heart. See, when our mind is transformed, it has an effect on our heart. Otherwise it just becomes knowledge. It just becomes knowledge unto us if we know something and don't do it. That means the mind is not transformed. I may know the same thing that the transformed mind knows, but the transformed mind is transformed in the sense that it has embraced those thoughts and lives accordingly, has fashioned his life accordingly. And so then I am ready to distribute to the necessity of the saints. The necessity of the saints. Necessity of the saints. And to hospitality, he says, bless them which persecute you. And curse not. You know, I can do the curse not part. You and I can do that maybe a little bit easier than bless those that curse you or persecute you. Bless them? The disposition of man is he can't do those things. There has to be a transformation. How was Paul able to do that? He was transformed. How was Peter able to do that? He was transformed in mind. He was persecuted, but he prayed. He prayed for them. So it's not just don't do the bad. Overcome evil with good, he says here. And you will reap coals of fire on his head. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. Who? Your enemy, the one who wishes you the worst. He says, feed him. Is he thirsty? Give him something to drink. Don't have that aha moment. Aha, you got what you deserved. Because be careful that you don't get what you deserve. Because we are outside of his perfect will. And God is showing us that. And what am I going to do with it? He says, rejoice with those that do rejoice. You know, brothers and sisters, we have six currently souls who have given their life to the Lord. Young men, young ladies. Their families are rejoicing. You and I, I shouldn't have to try to rejoice. If it's not an outflow of my heart, I don't have a transformed mind. There's something missing. Rejoice with those who rejoice. We have a baptism coming up. Are you rejoicing? Are we rejoicing? Are we going to be here to support the families, to rejoice with them, to embrace these young souls who have overcome evil? Or are we lackadaisical? Do we not care? I don't care. There's going to be a crowd. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be with them in prayer. I'll watch a sermon on the TV or computer or whatever. It's going to be easier. There's going to be a crowd. And yes, good that there's a crowd. Good. There's rejoicing. If there's no rejoicing in our hearts, dear ones, with those who rejoice, we are void of the workings of God in our hearts because there's something wrong with us. We have a wedding that is coming up. Or two. Are we rejoicing with those couples? We want to be a part and embrace this couple and wish them the best from the Lord and pray for them. That's rejoicing with those who rejoice. When something good happens, we rejoice. Why? Because they're rejoicing. It makes me happy. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with my spiritual man. And he says, weep with those who weep. We have a family who is in deep sorrow. Deep sorrow. They don't know how to turn from what just happened. There's visiting hours this evening or this afternoon and evening. We all need to go there. You young man, there's those young men who are hurting. You need to go there. Yes, it's hard to go and to perhaps visit someone who, because you don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Your presence is enough. You are sorrowing. You are weeping with them. You don't have to say a word. Just be there. It's easier to stay home. Oh, good. Oh, we're not going to have singing tonight? Well, I'll just relax then. No, go. Go. Weep with them. Show them you love them. That's how you will have embraced the truths of God. Those are commandments. Those are commandments of God. When is it convenient to attend a funeral, the house of bereavement? When? When does it not cost us something? It always does. But you go. You go. Why? Because someone, my brother is hurting. My brother is hurting. I'm going to go and embrace him. Because I hurt with him. If I don't, dear ones, I've lost my way. I've lost my way. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. What is the same mind, one of another? You know, you and I can agree on something that is wrong. Does that make it, oh, we have the same mind? No, our mind needs, we have the mind of Christ. So have the same mind in Christ. Be unity. Be one. One body. Members of one body, we are one. And in being one, dear ones, he says here, to be of that same mind and don't mind the high things. But condescend to men of low estate. Again, don't think of yourself higher than your brother or sister. But condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits. You know, you have an opinion. And it's going to be very strong. But if it's an opinion, don't be wise in your own conceits. The truths of God are different. The truths of God cannot be tolerated to take the truths of God and to diminish them or seek to bring them lower to accommodate my lifestyle. Cannot be done. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We can do it just if I'm not rejoicing with those who rejoice. If I'm jealous, I'm not embracing the truths of God. And so, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? Recompense no man evil for evil. Why? Because you don't know how to, and I don't know how to. That's one thing. That's why God implemented the law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Look what's happening today. Look what happens in wars. What happened in Iraq? How many millions of babies died? How many? Why? Oh, we're doing evil for evil. We're going to reply to what they did way above and beyond what happened to me. Way above. It's happening today in Gaza. Way above and beyond. But it's justified. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And so, why don't I do evil for evil? Because he says, dearly beloved. He says, hey, listen, dearly beloved. He's bringing our minds back. Wait, he just called me beloved. He says, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Why? Because he knows how to. And it will be just, and it will be perfect. Perfect. Deserving. Deserving. You and I will be deserving of whatever he gives me. If I didn't embrace these truths and follow them, I am deserving of what God gives me. I don't ask for that justice. And you don't pray, God, be just to me and judge me according to my sin. No one asks for that. We plead for his mercy. But in order to receive mercy, one must repent. Must repent to receive mercy. Avenge not yourselves. Everybody wants justice. Everyone wants justice. I want justice. And that's fine. We all want justice. But we don't want it in ourselves. We don't want it in ourselves. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance should never be a thought of you. And you, you're in my mind ever. Vengeance? Vengeance? You know, vengeance could be just a thought. It could just be the thought. What goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. Yep. That's a vengeful spirit. It's a vengeful spirit. He said, vengeance belongs to me. You know, the reason you and I cannot judge anything, or anyone, I should say, is because you and I don't know perfectly what God knows. You know, you could judge me and you don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole story, so you can't judge me. Why? Because God knows the story. He knows exactly what's going on. So God says, don't judge. Don't judge anyone because you don't know anything. You don't know anything, so don't judge anyone. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's athirst, give him the drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap holes of fire in his head. Do you want to give your enemy? Now, are we going to just, if my enemy wishes me evil or does something to me and I do good to him, now I've reaped coals of fire upon his head. That's what he deserves. Well, then, we're giving him to drink, we're giving him to eat. Absent of the love of God, and it is a stench in the nostrils of God. Stench. The fires of coal that are reaping on his head is he has not been shown. He has not been shown. And if he continues in his own ways, God will repay him. God will repay him. Don't you do it. You do it out of a love for those who persecute you. You can't change who you are. Dear ones, we can't serve God by saying, okay, now I'm going to stop doing these sins. I know I mentioned that many times, and I mentioned to all the converts that we speak to, you can't say, I do 10 sins, I don't do 2, now I'm 8. I might say you're better, but God doesn't say you're better. God doesn't say you're good now. When you do, when you eliminate 8 of them and you do 2, God doesn't say you're better. What do you mean you're better? Why didn't you give your heart to the Lord? Because when you give the heart to the Lord, you drop all 10 sins. But not only that, you do good. You do. You're now slothful in business, in the busyness of your duty of your day is to proclaim Jesus Christ. You can't proclaim him. We had a Bible study Friday that talked about when we lose our witness, when we lose our ability to proclaim God is when we don't live out. If we don't live out this sanctified life, we lose our ability to proclaim God to others. How sad. As I claim to be a Christian and a servant of the Most High God, and I can't even speak about him. Why? Because of the way I'm dressed, the things that I pursue in my life, my possessions, my look at me, pride. You can all sort it out in your own mind. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And how? Through the Word. Through Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in him also. The mind of Jesus Christ. Be not overcome of evil, brethren, but overcome evil with good. You know, we have to have the example of Jesus. He overcame all evil with good. Never have you seen in his life that he did evil for evil. And so when we do evil, we are under the influences of Satan. We are operating under his spirit, the spirit of the world. And yet we're going to call upon Christ in the day of trouble, in the day of, oh Lord, and will he hear us? He told the people in Israel, I can't stand what you're doing. Your sacrifices are meaningless to me. What do you mean? Well, Jesus is showing us today through the Apostle Paul's writing what a sanctified life means. Do we want to grow as we are proclaimed justified by the righteousness of God? And he imparts unto us his righteousness, not mine, because my righteousness is filthy rag. My righteousness is when I feed my enemy who is hungry, but don't have it in my heart to really do that. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to. That's my righteousness. It's filthy rags. There's nothing there. It's not even rags, it's filthy rags. But when God imparts his righteousness unto me, it's with his love permeating throughout me that these deeds are done and they're sweet-smelling savors unto God. May he bless his word upon each one of our hearts, dear ones, in this day. And let us truly be in the spirit when we read his word. Search out who Jesus is. Know him. Know him. And fashion our lives. And embrace one another, and love one another, live for one another. Let's not have these tussles and who's better, who's this, who did more, who did. We're all members of one body. Have that same mind. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.